Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You think you got the best of me? Think you've had the last laugh? Bet you think that everything good is gone? Think you left me broken down? Think that I'll come running back? Baby, you don't know me, 'cause you're dead wrong. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
I'm Alex Andrade, guest hosting for Andrew McKay this morning. We've run the gamut today. We've talked about, you know, how unfunny Andrew McKay is. We've talked about different Christmas traditions, including the fact that we've essentially imposed a Christmas tradition on the country of Germany.
I love when Alex fills in for me.
That's so funny. From last Monday, crack me up.
We have run the gamut this morning. We've talked about Medicaid fraud. We talked about Andrew's ability to do math on the air and just like ruin some people's drives to work that morning.
True story.
Although he's right. You know, a lot of times Andrew is right. You know, you might not know it, but he is normally right.
That well, don't feed his head like that. Exactly. Don't.
Well, he never seems right.
Okay.
There's that difference, right? Like there's nobody that is more right who comes off wrong as well as Andrew McKay in the mornings. But I do love listening to the show.
So if Alex gave me one of my favorite compliments, telling me that if I was doing the Nicki Minaj story, that I would have played the audio clips, which I did this morning because he gave me the idea to do it last week when he was filming for me to listen to the podcast. Also, one of the great cut to the bone insults. Nobody has ever managed to be more right and sound so wrong than Andrew. Well done, sir. Well done. I'm going to get you where it hurts. probably not, because I don't think that way. Oh, my goodness. He had a really nice deconstruction of the James Uthmeyer commentary on the Drag Queen Christmas.
For those who don't know, Attorney General opinions are these official opinions rendered by the Florida Attorney General's office that have a record of like never being overturned or found incorrect. There are these very well thought out, objective opinions that public officials can like go to the Attorney General's office to ask for. And when those opinions are rendered, they have like a 99% accuracy rate if the issue dispute ever gets litigated or appealed. We're in this situation now where this like unelected guy in this office is sending personal opinions on official letterhead. And you have to make this distinction between like an official by law attorney general opinion and James Uthmeyer's opinion on official letterhead.
Yeah, no, he's exactly right about that. And he's been doing this quite a bit. So well stated. And I love he's like, well, I offered to the governor and Uthmeyer to be on the show and I have not heard back from them. Not get invited to the governor's Christmas party.
Well, I had asked him if he had got the Christmas card
yeah,
too.
No, probably yeah, not. No. Not at all. Interesting story about 60 Minutes. Remember there was kind of this dust up a week or two ago when 60 Minutes did not air a story they were doing about El Salvador? And I forget the location of this place that they were going to do this expose on this, you know, very bad jail that we send some of our deportees to. And then it got pulled and they did an announcement at the very beginning of the show and said, inside CECOT, C-E-C-O-T is the acronym for this place, and, you know, that they pulled it. The segment titled Inside CECOT investigates the deportation of illegal aliens from the U.S. to an infamous maximum security prison in El Salvador. And Barry Weiss, who is the new, president of CBS News, anyway, explained an internal memo December 21st, that the segment was done by reporter Sharon Alfonsi, more on her in a minute, that it lacks several key elements, among other things, an original response from the Trump administration, which is always good, you know, to get both sides. And not just what they've said before, but you know, an original response. And so the story, as you might have heard it from the outside, is, oh, my God, CBS caved to Trump pressure. Oh, my God, CBS is just, you know, kowtowing to the administration. Okay. Well, but as is often the case, you know, there's a little more to that story. And The Hill, a guy named Beckett Adams, was writing about this and says, you know, honestly, 60 Minutes has really got some problems lately. And this is a good example of it because all Barry Weiss was trying to do was get him to do, you know, basic journalism. In this email that Barry Weiss issued, it says, what we have is White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt's soundbite claiming the deported illegal immigrants are evildoers in America. This is what Barry West told the staffers. But isn't there much more to ask in light of the torture that we're revealing? I mean, the actual story is very interesting and the things that they're alleging about this jail. Tom Homan and Stephen Miller don't tend to be shy. Understatement of the year. Tom Homan, you know, Borders are, and Stephen Miller, Chief of Staff, I forget what his exact title is right now, but yeah, both of them will loudly and obnoxiously shoot their mouth off, which makes them great for news people because we can get them to say things. He says, I realize we've emailed the DHS spokesperson, but we need to push harder to get these principles on the record. Principles like the people, not the principles like the ideas. Meaning that to say we tried to get a response from DHS and they didn't answer back is not, we're not doing enough. That's not enough. Good journalists, this is now the opinion piece by Beckett Adams. Good journalists understand this is a common request good editors make. Again, trying to get the story to be full and complete rather than, say, catering to the administration. Good reporting includes both sides of the story, and simply emailing a request for comment at 4:59 on a Friday or the recycling of an already public statement is usually insufficient, my view, particularly because it doesn't take notice of how they might react to the most recent specific allegations. A thorough reporter wants something exclusive, usually an on-the-record comment, especially when competing news outlets have already covered much of the same ground, and they have. In the 60-minute segment that Weiss paused for the reporting, Alfonsi, known for shoddy and biased work in the past, explicitly stated that the Department of Homeland Security declined our request for an interview. However, even this statement was highly misleading. Homeland Security had provided an original on-the-record comment for the story. Good Lord. So had the White House and the State Department. These comments, as well as their very existence, were left out of Alfonsi's report, suggesting the administration deliberately chose to remain silent in response to allegations of torture, which is false. More on this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to slow you down or delays. I-10, I-110, 90, 29, all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Continuing on this whole business of, you know, what's really going on at 60 Minutes in CBS, which, by the way, it makes me very sad. Because historically, CBS has been, honestly, among all the news networks, they're my favorite. CBS is the one that I have long considered to be, you know, the very good among ABC, NBC, CBS. And, I mean, Fox is, of course, a different beast altogether, right? But CBS among the, you know, the main three, I've always admired them quite a bit. And 60 Minutes has been the flagship, like, for this nation, for good, in-depth, long-form, magazine-style journalism. Magazine-style in, like, it's longer. You know, kind of like what we do a lot of times is, like, a longer treatment of something. It's not, like, quick hits, 40-second kind of stories. And it's sad. It's sad. You know, when the book about bias came out about CBS, that was sad. It's sad to find out that that's true. This is sad, too, that 60 Minutes has these problems. Barry Weiss also expressed concerns about the segment's claim that nearly half of the deported illegal immigrants lack criminal histories. This glosses over the reality that half do have histories, which is true. Both are true, right? Which part you choose to emphasize is a bias. Also, it hides the ball about precisely what counts as criminal history. According to the segment, for example, only 8 of 252 Venezuelans sent to CCOT had been sentenced for crimes in the U.S., but how many have convictions of any sort? How many were deported while facing charges that they did not receive conviction of because they got deported? How many cases were wanted abroad? My point, Barry Weiss wrote, is that we should include as much as we can possibly know and understand about these individuals. The thing, I can't stand the way Trump talks about the media and bias and fake news. But he's not wrong that there's bias and fake news and misreporting and journalism incompetence. That's true, too. And if y'all, if I can speak collectively to the members of my profession, if y'all did a better job, it wouldn't have laid the groundwork for the ability of somebody to come in and claim everything you do is lies and manipulation. Because if you just do it right, people don't say that. And if they do say that, people laugh at them. Right? And I don't know how to say this. I try to do a really good job of covering things thoroughly, in depth, paying attention to both sides, being as fair as I can, giving you sound bites instead of reading it myself. I don't really know of people who say about, oh, that Andrew McKay, you know, he's just not reliable. He's not telling the truth. He's making up the, I mean, right? And if they said it, you'd laugh at them. You might not agree with my interpretation or my conclusions or my opinion, but you don't usually look at the fact content and say he's got that grotesquely wrong. And that's the point. If you just do your job reliably, consistently, you don't have this problem. So they have this problem. And it's sad because we need the news. We need the media. We need people whose full-time job is to pay attention to the stuff that you don't have the time to pay attention to all the time. So frustrating all around. 819 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you need to sell a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are very good at this. I mean, a lot of realtors are good. Okay, I don't want to give the impression that, you know, not everybody, but they just have a certain track record. And that is that they sold 165 homes last year. That's 3 to 4 a week on average. 175 the year before that. That's 3 to 4 a week on average. Before that, they were selling over 200 when the times were easy, and it was 4 to 5 a week, a lot back then. Well, this year, they're back up, actually, from last year. It's actually, when I talked to Christina about a month and a half ago, she had said they were at 180, and they had 16 closings scheduled by the end of the year, so they're going to get real close to 200 by the end of the year. That's up 30% in a fairly challenging market. There's a lot of realtors who are just not having the success that they used to have. Why? Well, I don't know. Call her and ask. And I've always said, look, if you're going to hire a professional of any kind, call two or three, interview two or three. You don't necessarily have to interview 10, but don't just go with the one who's your brother-in-law. You know, talk to a couple of people and see who you like. And maybe you talk to Christina and you're like, I just don't want her. Okay, fine. Maybe you talk to her and you're like, oh, now I get it. But that's fine. Either way, just include her on your list. She and her team at Leavenworth Realty get a lot of people's houses sold and buy a lot of houses, even houses that other people have challenges selling. Frankly, that's been a common theme for her recently. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Welcome in 2026 as Pensacola Beach lights up the skies. Enjoy the show at midnight all along the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk. Start your new year with an exhilarating rush. Take in the polar bear plunge on Pensacola Beach. Be a dipper or a spectator beginning at 2 behind Paradise Bar and Grill. See visitpensacolabeach.com. Submit your event at newsradio923.com.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Finally.
John, no, we're superheroes.
We are?
Oh, yeah, according to the headline. Study says people who can function on 5 hours of sleep are superheroes.
That's right, and don't forget it.
How many hours of sleep do you get a night?
Less than five.
No, you don't.
Dadgummit, I'm trying to be the superhero.
You go to bed at what, like six?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I need my beauty sleep.
You go to eight or nine, right? You get a full night.
Oh, I do. I have to.
Yeah.
Or you get grumpy, John.
I get 4 hours, but then I get a nap. You know, you know one of the reasons why it's so good to have a wife? A wife will always, like, fact check your lies. Right? So I always tell people this sad story about, I go to bed at midnight and I get up at 4, and then she'll be like, yeah, and then he takes a nap when he gets home and he takes another nap in the afternoon. Okay, but they don't need to know all the details. Can't you just let them think I function on 4 hours of sleep a night or three or two?
Right.
And a half?
It makes the story so much better.
I mean, when you add it up, it's still not a lot, but
it's not consecutive is what I like to say.
There you go. It's sequential. I sleep in shifts. What was the actual story that I was going to share?
Superheroes.
Thank you. I was going to share you the actual fact claim. I mean, you know, you got to back it up. Oh, by the way, on that whole issue of being trustworthy, one of the key parts about being a reliable news source is when you're wrong, admit it fast. Admit it. Oh, yeah, could have done that better. And always be aware of your own limitations. Anyway, study says people who can function 5 hours of sleep are superheroes who have a rare genetic mutation. I'm a mutant.
Well, we knew that.
Not by nature. I never used to sleep this way. Scientists discover that less than 1% of people carry a small change in a gene called DEC2, December 2nd gene. This gene helps control the body's sleep and wake cycle. When it works in a special way, the brain restores itself faster than normal during sleep. Study published in Science, people with this mutation stay healthy with only 4 to 5 hours of sleep. Most people who sleep this little feel tired, forget things, and have a higher risk of disease. What was I saying? Short sleepers do not. Oh, a short sleeper. Well, I was short when I didn't sleep a little. Their memory stays sharp. Their mood stays stable. I'm out twice. Their thinking is always fast. All right. For them, short sleep is normal because their brain repairs and recovers more efficiently. Okay. All right. We'll just move on. Let's do that.
Hey, let's do traffic real quick.
John Pickett says traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still no accidents to slow you down this morning. I-10, I-110. Everything is flowing smoothly. I'm not seeing any delays for you this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Somebody says, my people, we can all be sleep deprived perpetually together. That's right. What did they used to say? You know, you'll get plenty of sleep when you're dead.
Yes.
Can I? Not to burst your bubble.
But you're going to burst it.
I am going to burst this one. You ready? It is my opinion that when people say things like, all of this will happen later in life or when you die, no. Because every time in life, what happens? You think you're going to have more free time when you go to college and you have less. And when you get to be an adult and then you have less. And then you're going to have more money when you... Like, all of these promises about how things are going to be wonderful in the future.
You just busted my bubble. My goodness. Debbie Downer.
You've read Revelation at least once?
I have.
Does it talk about people sleeping in heaven? Mansions and houses of gold and all that. Does it say bedrooms with beds?
Oh, no, but that would be a really good question.
But, right? You know, you'll get plenty of sleep when you're dead. Not convinced. It could be you were just awake forever.
You have a lot of time to think.
Steve Taylor's in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
Well, I guess I better wake up from my power nap in here. Well, looks like Ukrainian President Zelensky is saying that he does not trust Vladimir Putin as the peace talks are continuing. I wonder why. In an interview, he had an interview with Fox News. Zelensky is saying that Putin does not want success for Ukraine, and he believes he simply does not want more pressure from President Trump either. Trump says he believes a peace deal is getting a lot closer, and he adds a lot of progress has been made while saying there are still one or two very thorny issues. Well, the confetti that will rain down on people ringing the new year in Times Square got a test run yesterday. Of course, they had to make sure it all works. Organizers of the big annual event, along with the sponsor Planet Fitness, released multicolored confetti at the Broadway Plaza late yesterday morning. 3,000 pounds, that's a lot of it. It will be hand-tossed from the crowd to the crowds from above as that ball drops at midnight, of course, to welcome in 2026. But I feel sorry for those sanitation department staff members who have to clean it all up on New Year's Day. And that's what's happening.
You know, I'm gonna apologize for this in advance. It's not going to be funny.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm going
to... Oh, boy.
For whatever reason, when you started talking about the confetti, the way you pronounced it got me thinking, well, what if you made confetti out of, like, old Confederate paraphernalia, and then it'd be like, Confederetti.
Confederetti.
It's not funny. Couldn't stop
myself
anyway.
I'm glad you apologized in advance.
For all of us.
Sometimes it's good to know your limits. All right, Steve, thanks so much for the update. 828 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, I love that. I was getting all these weird hate texts yesterday. It was kind of funny. And one of them was like, I don't like the way you laugh so much. Stop laughing so much. It's your own jokes. You're not as funny as you think you are. Okay. This actually goes back to when I was at the very beginning of when I got hired here, and one of the people that was, you know, helping me create this radio show back in the beginning, and I love her to death. I dearly love her, but she always, you know, stop laughing so much. I'm like, no. And eventually you'll just get used to it and it'll be okay.
Then it'll be okay. Yeah.
It'll be fine. That's right. Oh, man. What was I going to tell? I had another story. Where was it here? No, not that one. Okay. The Supreme Court has declined to hear a case. And yeah, a lot of times those stories don't really make big news, but this one I thought was kind of interesting. you know how we've got all these cases around school books and kids and what they have access to? And we talked yesterday about Entangle Makes Three and a bunch of other things. And, you know, which books are sexually, you know, lurid and which books are safe and which books are misunderstood and all that. Well, the Supreme Court declined to hear an appeal on a Texas case where the local officials were removing books from the public library. Not from the school library, from the public library. And there was a 2022 lawsuit. A group of residents in Llano, L-L-A-N-O County, I'm just guessing, had removed a dozen books dealing with sex, race, gender, and things like that. And they got sued over it. And basically the court said, it's a government entity. You aren't entitled to what the government decides to carry as its content. And, you know, libraries remove books, remove videos all the time. You know, that happens. But here's the reason I tell you this story. The book titles removed were Caste, The Origins of Our Discontent, like the caste system. They called themselves the KKK, The Birth of an American Terrorist Group. In the Night Kitchen by Maurice Sendak. That's a, you know, he's the Where the Wild Things Are. It's Perfectly Normal, Changing Bodies, Growing Up, Sex and Sexual Health, and Being Jazz, My Life as a Transgender Teen. Those weren't the ones that caught my attention. The books that caught my attention were Larry the Farting Leprechaun.
No.
And My Butt is So Noisy. Two different books that make me want to read them so badly because those sound like awesome kids' books. Larry the Farting Leprechaun.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. The drug loading dock goes boom, and then another drug boat in the Pacific. U.S. Southern Command strike number 30 after a Christmas pause. President Trump confirms the dock strike.
There was a major explosion in the dock area where they load the boats up with drugs.
The president at Mar-a-Lago meeting Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu also promised hell to pay if Hamas doesn't disarm in Gaza as promised. Homeland Security joins the Somali fraud investigation in Minnesota. Fox's Madeline Rivera.
Attorney General Pam Bondi says they've been looking into these allegations of fraud for months, and they expect more prosecutions will be coming. So far, she says 98 people have been charged, 85 of whom are of Somali descent.
After an independent journalist viral videos visiting empty daycare and healthcare centers. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 right now, 34 degrees and mostly sunny. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. A teen's been arrested after allegedly robbing a gas station in Pensacola. According to a Facebook post from the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, a person went into the Exxon gas station in the 100 block of Navy Boulevard December the 20th. About 10:50 p.m., Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons told Andrew McKay on Pensacola Morning News earlier what happened when he got there.
He ran inside, had a hoodie on. And reached in, grabbed the money, and they were fighting over the register itself, the tray itself. Ended up taking the money and fleeing into the neighboring area.
When the teen approached the open cash register and attempted to take the money from it, which led to a confrontation with another individual in that store, that guy was identified as 18-year-old Kylene Jermaine Dawson of Pensacola, and he's charged with second-degree robbery. A 24-year-old woman's facing drug charges after Escambia County deputies recovered 20 grams of cocaine during a traffic stop yesterday afternoon. That's according to the sheriff's office. Bailey Hart is charged with possession of cocaine and possession of drug paraphernalia. The Escambia County Sheriff's Office says deputies conducted a traffic stop for a vehicle being driven erratically on Nine Mile Road, and during that traffic stop, they located 20 grams of cocaine inside that vehicle. No further details have been released. Looks like the Florida Department of Transportation is considering safety enhancements for North Blue Angel Parkway following that deadly crash yesterday morning. A pickup truck failed to navigate a curve near Millview Road and caught fire there. That's the fourth crash this year at that intersection. Ian Sater with FDOT says a current study will examine the roadway for potential improvements, including additional lighting, turn lanes, and signal modifications. Escambia County Commissioners say they are going to work with FDOT to evaluate what safety measures may be needed there. Authorities are reminding drivers, though, safety ultimately depends on how people drive. Well, looks like it's warming up a little bit right now. Let's check the forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will have partly cloudy skies today with a high near 49 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 32. For Wednesday, 55 degrees with mostly sunny skies. And heading into your New Year's evening, temperatures dropping into the 40s. As you head into the new year on Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 61. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 48. Staying connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, let's go to John Pickens for traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free and delay-free. I'm not seeing anything that's going to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, John. Right now, semi-sunny and 34 degrees in Pensacola, 35 right now in Gulf Breeze, and 33 in Milton at 8:35. Next news is 9, breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And let's check your money. This is Your Money Now on News Radio 92.3. It looks like President Trump is saying he'll likely announce his pick to replace Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell next month. Powell's term is expiring in May, and he's been a frequent target for the president, who has criticized his leadership of the central bank and often its refusal to cut those interest rates. Trump said yesterday he loves to fire Powell, but it's already close to the end of his term, and at the open, I'm checking right now, the Dow Jones happens to be, looks like, at 43,349, down 0.23%. Looking at the S&P 500, that is also down 0.35% at 6,905. NASDAQ is down 0.02% at 23,410. That's your money now on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Princeton Grove, a new affordable housing community in Crestview, is now taking applications for one- and two-bedroom apartments. Princeton Grove features a resort-style swimming pool, pickleball court, dog park, state-of-the-art fitness center, Energy Star-rated appliances, granite countertops, and, for a limited time, Princeton Grove is offering one-bedroom apartments for $799 and two bedrooms at $1099 without any application fees. Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview. Location, community, quality living. All starts at Princeton Grove.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
Show of hands, who here likes talking on the phone more than texting? Absolutely no one, exactly. Oh, get them removed, please. That's crazy. Okay, who prefers texting? Literally everyone.
Okay, that's just set up, but this is Taylor Tomlinson, who is a comedian, and she was also the host of After Midnight, a pretty funny show there where they'd have basically three comics in and ask them silly questions and play a fake game show and do commentary. It was good.
Wait, kind of what we do.
Yeah, a little bit. Morning. A little bit. Yeah. A little bit. Well, I mean, you know, it was a lot of TikTok videos. Anyway, kind of sad that show went away, but okay. That's not the point. The point is that she brought up something that I thought we should talk about. The texting and talking, that's not the point, but here is the point.
There's good news because according to the Washington Post, Gen Z has found a middle ground between talking on the phone and texting. lengthy voice notes. And people are loving it. It's the best of both worlds. You get to hear your friend's deepest thoughts without the pressure of actively listening.
So a lengthy voice note is a recording of somebody's voice that they send you instead of a text.
Mm-hmm.
So phone call is two-way talking. Text is just the print on your screen. And then the voice memo is them talking and you listening. A voicemail, if you want to think of it, or an answering machine message, if you want to go back far enough in the past. They talk and you listen. And long ones, you know, minutes long, where they're just monologuing you. And they showed a video from TikTok of somebody listening, doing their daily chores and listening to their friend talk and drone on and on and on, but not having a conversation with them. And she thinks, and the Washington Post apparently think, this is a common thing.
No, but for real, I love voice notes because they're great for all generations. If you're Gen Z, you send voice notes to your friends. If you're a millennial, you send voice notes to flirt. And if you're a boomer, you send voice notes on accident.
So, question for the day, 437-1620. Do you like voice notes? Voice memos, voice recordings, however you want to think of it. Do you like that idea? Do you send them to other people? Do other people send them to you? Is she right? Is the Washington Post right that these are an appealing thing as opposed to texting on the one hand, or as opposed to an actual phone conversation on the other hand? 437-1620. I'm going to lead on this one, John.
But you always go to me first.
All right, go ahead. Fine. 437-1620. I'm just curious, where y'all at?
I'm in no voice stuff.
Tell me more.
No voice notes or whatever you want.
Let's call them voice notes. It's kind of a hard thing to say, actually.
I think I've gotten like 2 in 10 years. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's not that.
I am 100% with you. I don't get to say that very often.
I know, right?
In my entire life, which, I mean, in terms of the relevant technology, that's, say, the last 15 years, I think people have sent me on my phone a recording of them talking to me. Ever? Once? You do get it a little bit more frequently. People try to message me on Facebook that way with a recording of them talking. Mm-hmm. I am equally uninterested in it, whatever the format is. Right. I do not listen to these things. You would have to be a close loved one for me to listen to your mini podcast.
Yeah. Doesn't include me.
Yeah. Well, but because nobody would send this.
But I mean, what if you're in the doctor's office and you want to know what that person has said, but you can't
just
listen
text
to it.
It
right there. Yeah.
Right. Just text it. Well, I wanted to do this because Taylor seems so convinced that this is happening a lot.
But it's not.
And I asked my wife, she's like, hell no. And that's what John said. And that's what I would never send one. I don't like to leave voice messages. And I literally tell people on my outbound message on my phone, don't leave me a voicemail. I won't hear it. I literally tell them that. They still sometimes do. And I think, well, you're dumb. Just text me is what I always say. Or call. But either way, call later or something. But this is, and the way the thing on the video that they showed was like this guy just kind of rambling on, and this person going through there, making their breakfast, eating their food, watching TV, listening to, you know, and I'm like, who does this? And I'll give you my answer why I don't is, I like talking to people on the phone. Now, I know for you youngins, that's hard to relate to because some of you, it's almost verging on a mental disability, the inability, like it's going to, soon enough, you won't even be able to not hire people because they can't talk on the phone because that's going to be categorized as ableism, you know.
Just
they
text
have,
me.
Yeah, they have a disorder. Anyway, but I like talking to people on the phone. I recognize that talking to somebody on the phone takes time. Okay. But the idea of, they're going to send me a 5-minute message and I don't get to even respond. I want the interaction. That's why you talk. Or we just text. I don't get it. But I want to hear from people who like this. I want to hear from the people who like this. Even, and by the way, I mean, in a certain sense, I'm sending you voice messages or what did we call them? Voice notes?
Voice notes.
For 4 hours. But you can text me, and I will play your text, and we talk back and forth. We will interact. So I get that radio is kind of like this.
If you're listening to a podcast.
I mean, it's just, it's like a long podcast. And
yeah.
Your friends, why would you listen to a friend cast? Why don't you just talk to them? That's what I don't get. I'm completely baffled by the concept. And again, I don't think that, you know, I don't think this happens nearly the way they think it happens.
But I mean,
I want to be wrong. Yeah. I want to find out there's a thing out there that's happening that I'm not aware of. That's interesting to me. But
and you know what? I think it's bad enough that you have to listen to like county commission meetings and stuff. But why would I want to listen to just somebody ramble?
I mean, but have a conversation with me.
Right.
You know, or text.
So how am I, if you do send me one, how am I supposed to respond?
Well,
do
I guess you record one and send it back?
Thank you for your time. And I mean,
is that the protocol?
I don't, that's what I'm asking.
When somebody sends you one, do you record one to send them back? So you're having like, you know, it's the interstellar communications back and forth where it takes 10 years for it to reach them. And I just don't get it. Okay. 437-1620. Somebody just says, you've got mail. Okay. Right. Yeah.
You've got mail.
If I wanted to listen, I'd call. Exactly. Reading can be done over time. When a choice message, you have to pay attention. With a voice message, you have to pay much more attention. I've never even heard a voice note, somebody said. It would annoy me unless it was a loved one's last message.
I get that. I mean,
but how
I
would you know that that's
that.
Coming?
Exactly.
How would you know that that's what's happening? Let's see. Voice notes are a useless feature. We don't need yet another way to make communications more difficult. Great show, by the way. Keep laughing. I love that. I will. I can't stop myself. Let's see. I never even listen to voicemails. I read the transcript. Oh, there you go.
Exactly.
See?
That's what I do.
Somebody says, maybe you could use it for an excited utterance. Otherwise, it's the worst of both worlds. It's a megaphone. I don't want to listen to it. It reminds me of derailed meetings where someone won't stop talking long enough to be guided back onto the topic. Yeah, because I want to back channel. I want to give you feedback. I want to ask questions. I want to interact. I want to have a dialogue. And so I don't send me your podcast.
Right.
It's just weird. Now, actually, I could see, I was thinking about this. I could see what she mentions about kind of flirting. You know, you're in the dating world.
How you doing?
And let's be honest. Have you ever had a phone call that you couldn't end? You both wouldn't end it, you know, back in the day when you hang up. No, you hang up. And it's adorable, and it's wonderful to be in that situation. But I could also see more value where you would leave somebody. It's almost a kind of a performance gift where you're sending them your voice instead of just a text. And I could see that. You know, I have recordings of people from over the years that have left me voice messages that I thought were worth keeping. And, you know, some of the ones from my wife, like when we were dating. I mean, those are very precious to me. So I could see that. I could see the flirting kind of thing. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
All right. Let's see here. No accidents to let you know about right now. If you're on Highway 29, approaching 9 Mile Road, both northbound and southbound, just a minor delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I turned myself off. I don't know how that happened. Thanks so much, John. Hey, if you're looking for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars. And one of the things I like is, I mean, they deal with you like a person they're going to see again, not like a person they're trying to, you know, kind of one interaction, take what they can and you never see you again. Because they want that. They want you to come back again and again and again to feel like this is home, like this is your place. And part of the value of that is that you go to one place and you can see a lot of different cars. 300 or so different cars on the lot. You know, sports cars, sedans, vans, SUVs, Jeeps, all, runarounds, all kinds of stuff. And that means that in each sort of genre or vehicle type, you might see 20 or 30 or 50. And so you can really compare them side by side. What do you like about the Toyota? What do you like about the Ford? What do you like about the GM or dislike? And if you forget, you know, 3 cars ago I drove the Camry. I'm not sure. Well, get back in it. It's right there. Whereas if you drive all around town, you know, go back to the Toyota dealership, right? Like, that's inconvenient. Now, you may find what you like. You can buy it. That's great. You may find something close and send them looking for it or ask them if they can go find one like this for you. Or, you know, maybe you just start there and then you go looking else. But in any case, start at the giant smorgasbord of good quality used vehicles. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. All right, let's see. Back to the question of the day, which is, do you use the voice notes, the sending somebody else a voice message, a memo, a mini podcast, whatever you want to think of it? And our consensus is no, sort of. Hell no, never. I would never. It's weird if it's a text.
And I still want to know the protocol. If I do
well, how
get
do you
one,
reply?
Yeah. What is the proper protocol?
What if somebody sends you like a 6-minute recording of their voice and you just give it the little thumbs up emoji? Is that insulting? Because you didn't.
That sounds like something I would do.
I do often feel that way when somebody sends me a long text and then I just give them like the thumbs up emoji or a heart or something like that. I think, have I insulted them back? I
wasn't or just type to. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, okay. TY.
Yeah.
All good. Let's see. I think I've gotten one voice message text. I read the transcript. Please just text. I never have done them, but I think very short messages would be a good idea because they would convey your tone of voice, which is a cause of many text messages being misunderstood. Oh, that's a good point. But the difficulty of it, the recording of it, the sending of it, the playing of it.
And knowing me, okay. I'd have to edit.
I'm trying to think the other side here. And here's where I can see this. What if you want to have a very brief conversation with somebody where you don't want it in a text, but you don't want the 10-minute phone call?
And you just want it one-sided.
And you're not really inviting a response.
Right.
All right, I can see that. 437-1620. Let's see. Voice messages are an unnecessary and gratuitous convolution of communication. Oh, see what they did?
Goodness.
Somebody else says, speak for yourself. You've never gotten a voice note from Seamus... I'm trying not to say these words because I don't know if they're going to trick me. Somebody who has a very thick Irish accent, and the accent is amazing, so they love to hear the person's voice. Okay, all right. That's a case where I could see the value of it. And like we talked about, kind of maybe, you know, grandma's messages to you would be nice to hear. I will say this, just because we're in this vicinity. One of the things I most miss about my mom is her voice. And I mean, I haven't heard her voice in, you know, 24 years. She died in 2001. And it bothers me because I don't have a lot of recordings of her voice. And I wish I had more. So in that regard, I would encourage you that remember that Florida is a two-party consent state. Both parties have to know you're recording, unlike other states where it's only one party, some of them. But I would encourage you to make recordings of your loved ones just because you may at one point miss their voice. Because I know I miss my mom's voice. Of course, my boys have all my podcasts, so I don't need to go out of my way.
Nope.
Andrew McKay.
This holiday season, whether you're shopping for clients, coworkers, or loved ones, Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze makes gift giving easy and memorable. From custom apparel and drinkware to unique holiday gifts and decor, you'll find the perfect way to show your appreciation and spread cheer. Make your gifts stand out with personal touches and professional quality, all from your local experts at Prim and Proper. Visit them at 336 Gulf Breeze Parkway or primandproper.com.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Cool. We're going to have such a good time. It'll be like this one time at band camp when we all had a campfire.
Good morning, 8:52, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and whenever I see these health stories that are like, these are the six signs that you're going to, I always feel like I'm being clickbaited a little bit, but I want to share this one with you because you know, it's the kind of thing you might find interesting.
But you still clicked on it.
Of course. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Headline, beware these six symptoms of midlife that can predict dementia later in life. New study. Do you want to know? Do you not want to know? Anyway, a new study pinpoints six depressive symptoms in middle age that can predict dementia more than two decades later. Dementia diagnoses projected to skyrocket in coming years, with new cases expected to reach a million a day by 2060. Significant intervention doesn't get taken. University College of London. Oh, I've been there. 6,000 middle-aged participants who were predominantly male and white, so obviously it doesn't tell you everything you'd want to know. Depressive symptoms were documented with a questionnaire when participants were dementia-free between the ages of 45 and 69. Participants' health was tracked for the next 25 years. During the follow-up period, 10% of them developed dementia. Further analysis reveals that participants who were classified as depressed in middle life had a 27% higher risk of developing dementia. Researchers found this staggering increase in dementia risk was completely driven by six symptoms in adults younger than 60. Now, it's not overall depression, they say. There are some depression symptoms that don't seem to correlate in any way with developing dementia later. Low mood, suicidal ideation, that's the thinking about, you know, wanting to end it all. Sleep issues, even though they are depressive symptoms, they had no meaningful correlation with dementia long term. These were the six. Do you want to hear the list or not hear the list?
Oh, no, I'm all ears. I just can't remember.
Yes, please, Andrew. Tell me how 20 years from now I'm going to have dementia because I have these five problems.
Going to remember it, too.
Okay, here goes. Loss of confidence.
Well, that's check one.
Yeah. I don't know that one. Inability to face up to problems.
That's number two.
How you doing, John?
Not good today.
2 for 2.
Yeah, I am.
But that's bad. You don't want to get these. These are non-check marks. You want to go 0 for 2.
I thought the highest point... win.
It's like golf. Low score is better.
Oh, no. I thought always high score was better in golf.
Not feeling warmth and affection for others.
Ooh.
Feelings of nervousness. I don't know how this is hitting. It's probably not pleasant. Feelings of nervousness, as if your nerves are always pulled tight. Dissatisfaction with the way tasks are carried out. And a difficulty concentrating.
I mean, I know several people, but...
Findings show that dementia risk is linked to a handful of depressive symptoms rather than depression as a whole. And so it's about these symptoms, not about being depressed in general. Symptom level approach gives us a much clearer picture of who may be more vulnerable decades before dementia develops. And of course, what would be the value of this? Not just to know with dread that what's coming, but to know and therefore be able to take action, whatever remedial action might be able to be taken. So treating midlife depression, you know, as if you weren't motivated enough to just not be depressed, but also to not be depressed now and to not have dementia later, treating midlife depression could lead to reduced dementia risk down the line. And so there's your motive to act now. Of course, I always think that what you've now told people who are feeling depressed is that, it's much worse than you thought.
Right.
Which
where's
probably
our happy
doesn't
time?
Help the depression much.
No. Kind of adds on. Thanks, Andrew.
Tuesday or something. All right, John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Well, I got good news on this one. No accidents to report, so you should feel better about yourself. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 are all looking good. Just some positive news
today. Thank you. We need it.
John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I love how you're kind of slowing it down to make it, because you're worried that whatever you're displacing time-wise is probably worse with me this morning. Fair enough. I'll take the note. Hey, if you have air conditioning, heating, electrical, or plumbing needs of any kind, or, you know, maybe a generator. That's an electrical need, right? Peden, they'll take care of you for that. In fact, you know, when they started the company back in, 59, I think is the year when they started. Anyway, long time ago in Panama City Beach, and the idea, was, hey, let's make air conditioning. I can do this. I can turn it into a business. Heating is a pretty natural corollary. Eventually electrical, eventually plumbing, all the way east to Tallahassee, into the Eastern time zone, where we rarely venture unless we have to. And then all the way west into Alabama, where we also rarely venture unless we have to, but Mobile and Baldwin County, all along the Gulf Coast. Peden takes care of all that stuff. Good quality products, good people who install them, 100% satisfaction guaranteed, you know, all the things. Now, one of the things Peden's really getting into is these smart home kind of deals. So they have a smarter, safer home consultation, a smart home consultation for just $89. They're licensed professionals. will come, you know, look at what you've got, help you figure out how to customize it for comfort, security, for energy savings in a single, simple system. You can live smarter with Peden. Find out more at Peden, PEADEN.com. All right, what was the one that I was going to... we talked about the Nicki Minaj stuff and covered that kind of extensively. If you want to go back to the podcast in the 5 o'clock hour and the 7 o'clock hour, her comments at Turning Point USA were interesting. I'm cautious about jumping on the bandwagon, you know, Nicki Minaj is my conservative hero now or anything like that. But still, I mean, you know, when somebody comes out and says something interesting, I wanted you to know what it was. She's now off Instagram. She apparently lost about 10 million followers out of, I think the number I read was 150 million. She was the most followed rapper on Instagram. And 10 million down and a lot of negative comments, and she just quits the account. Like, it was gone yesterday.
If I lost 10 million, it'd be no big deal.
Yeah, whatever. It'd be negative 9,995,000.
Yeah, I know.
So she's quit. And it's worse. There's now a push to get her deported.
What? Are you kidding?
From the left. And the push is sort of two-pronged. One, she says offensive, terrible, horrible things. That's one. Number two, she may have come here as an illegal immigrant. At the age of 5 from Trinidad and Tobago. And she's not a citizen. And she's made a comment in the past about how she thinks she should have honorary citizenship given all the millions of dollars in taxes she's paid. Interesting note, right? But, you know, there's apparently a push, again, from some people, that they want Nicki Minaj deported. You know, treat everybody equally. She doesn't get special protection just because she's, you know, apparently a conservative or a Christian or whatever she claims to be now. But her divisive rhetoric and her illegal status means that she should be kicked out.
Local Talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 90.